Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
This is about the time of year that you're paying attention to the bracketology and things along those lines. And I didn't go over this with you yesterday because, frankly, I didn't see it or get to it. But I heard him talking about it on the game last night in which Tech won over Oklahoma State. And Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology really, really surprised me with regard to where he had Texas Tech going into the game last night. He had Tech as an 8 seed.
Oh, wow, that's, you know, Joyce was complaining pretty hard about him the other day to me, feeling like that every year he kind of has the Red Raiders low, and then right at the very end he bumps him up to a higher seed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he has 9 Big 12 teams in the tournament, and he has Tech as an 8 seed taking on Nebraska. And here's the other challenge is that the 8-9 game plays the winner of a 1-16 game. In this case, it would be in Brooklyn, and the winner of the 1-16 game most likely would be UConn, because Lunardi has UConn playing Eastern Kentucky. So, they're the defending champions. I mean, they're not the number one overall seed, but, you know, Houston is in that spot. But I don't know, I looked at that and went, yeah, you got to be kidding me, man, really? In his mind, going into the games last night, the last 4 byes in, among them was TCU. And then among the first 4 out, he had Utah, which is a future Big 12 team member. And the next 4 out, so after those 4, Colorado was on that list, which is also obviously coming to the Big 12. So he had, and I completely disagree with this. The top overall seed he has is Purdue. I think Purdue is always seems like it's underperformed in the NCAA tournament.
But that shouldn't affect their seeding this year.
It shouldn't. But I don't view them as, I mean, if to me, and I don't know if it's Houston, but I mean, they're the number one team in the nation right now. I mean, to me, if you're looking at a team that should have, just the way they've played and the way they've dominated, how exciting their offense is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To me, they're the number one team overall. And he has St. John's as the first team out and Wake Forest as the last team in. So, like I said, I mean, and then the other thing that just stunned me about what he had, because I thought he really overvalued this team.
Isn't it funny how entertained we all are in those kind of things, fully well knowing that there's so much basketball to be played.
Yes.
It could be
yes.
Nowhere near any of that. But
sure.
I mean, and I'm telling you, I'll do the same thing with baseball even before the season starts. Mm-hmm. And they got projected regionals, and I'm like interested looking, and there hasn't been a single pitch thrown. But it's still fun to look at.
Right.
We can look at the basketball thing and go, oh man, you got one more regular season game, you got conference tournaments, mm-hmm. They're going to change seeds, you're going to have teams that get bumped out because there's, you know, mid-major shockers and all this kind of stuff and bid stealers and all that. And we know it's all going to change everything, but at the same time, we're totally entertained and we want to almost, you know, oh man, that team should be higher. That team should be lower. But
sure.
We know so much is going to change.
He has Texas playing Mississippi State. The winner of that game plays the winner of Purdue and then the play-in game of Norfolk State and Central Connecticut. But the thing that really shocked me is because I do not think that they are a 3 seed by any stretch of the imagination. And remember, Texas Tech owns the tiebreak over them, but he has Kansas as a 3 seed. Look, I can't sit here and tell you that I've watched a ton of those games because I haven't, of the KU games. And they won big last night over Kansas State. But still, the disparity between a 3 seed and an 8 seed for teams that have the same conference record, and the fact that you beat them and he has Tech as an 8 seed versus Kansas as a 3 seed, I think it's just I think it's preposterous.
It sounds like we're going off of the logo there.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah,
couldn't agree with you more. So, like you said, take that for what it's worth. It's not what the committee has. You know, the committee will kind of view things maybe with a, I don't know, they try to have their colored glasses off, whether they're purple or blue or crimson or scarlet or black, you know, whatever colors, you know, gold. They try to do as good a job as they can on that. But I sure would like to see you higher than an 8 seed, and I think that you deserve to be higher than an 8 seed. Now, you can earn that. You can put yourself in a position to be higher than an 8 seed by winning on Saturday over Baylor.
Yeah, that would help.
You know, I mean, you can kind of say, well, hey, Joe Lunardi, you're full of it. And like you said, I mean, I trust choices.
Maybe he was predicting that Tech was going to lose last night. Maybe that was part of his deal.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, I trust Choice's thoughts on that, that he probably kind of follows that in terms of Lunardi. That kind of sounds like Choice. Kind of sounds like something I would do if I got to thinking about it, going, well, let's see how Lunardi does in February for Texas Tech and where he is in first weekend in March, and then boom, right before the tournament, he's all of a sudden like jumping on the bandwagon. He's jumping on Fearless Champion's back and says, hey, Master Rider, take me with you. Right? I'm there all along. Purdue eked one out over Illinois last night, although that was on the road. 77-71 last night for the Boilermakers. Kansas was a winner over Kansas State, 90-68 last night at Allen Fieldhouse. And, of course, the Red Raiders with a demonstrative win over Oklahoma State last night, 75-68. So that's just my little outrage this morning. I just kind of felt like, that's a bunch of bull, you know, more than anything else.
It was more dominant than 75-68. It was 75-58.
Yes. 75-58. I'm sorry. Okay. I guess my...
Let's give us our credit there, Joe.
Okay.
Come on, Lunardi Hines.
75-58. Sometimes my glasses don't work really well. The other game last night, Oklahoma was really, really lucky as they win in overtime at home over Cincinnati, 74-71. That could have been a dagger in their heart for the NCAA tournament last night if they had lost that game. Instead, they win, they survive to live another day, and up next for them is a battle with Texas. So those two teams will duke it out. Maybe for a berth in the tournament.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Today is March the 6th, 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire.
Going to start in 1906, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Cubs signed third baseman Harry Steinfeld. Now, you might be wondering why we care. Well, because he was the third baseman for Tinkers and Evers and Chance.
Oh, nice.
1945, George Neeson of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, receives a patent for the very first modern trampoline.
Okay.
So you know we can go break that world record for jumping on a trampoline.
I wonder what the non-modern trampoline looked like.
That is a great question that I'm sure we will establish at some point in this day in history, just unfortunately not today.
I think it was looked like bed springs, and there were monkeys involved. No more monkeys jumping on the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever read that book to your kids? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No more monkeys jumping on the bed. Did you do it did you use character voices too with it?
I probably did.
Okay. I know that I did. You know that I did.
There was very little doubt that you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
1972, Jack.
It wasn't really a character. It was just Chuck.
Yeah, it's just Chuck. Yeah.
Big paw.
Big paw. That's right.
1972, Jack Nicklaus passes Arnold Palmer as the golfer's all-time money winner. 1992, Yankee pitcher Pascal Perez is suspended 1 year due to cocaine use.
Cocaine use, huh?
Oh, man.
Pascual Perez. That guy, he was a terrific pitcher, but he pitched for a lot of different teams.
I would have guessed the suspension had something to do with overly large amounts of hair gel. He had like the big perm. He was rocking it, and it just looked greasy and slimy, and it was nasty looking.
Didn't he have problems with directions too?
Directions.
I think he got lost.
Home plate is that way?
Yeah, like he threw a pitch to third. Or
no,
what?
I think he got lost going to the ballpark and, like numerous times. He is no longer with us. He passed away in 2012. He played for the Pirates, the Braves, the Expos, and the Yankees.
Bad deal.
2004, Ronald Ross scores 23 points as Texas Tech closed its regular season with a 72-58 win over Iowa State. They gave Tech coach Bob Knight his 830th career win. And in 2019, LeBron James scores his 32,293rd point in the second quarter of a Lakers 115-99 loss to Denver to help LeBron pass Michael Jordan into fourth place on the NBA all-time point scoring list. Chuck can tell you what today's food is.
I can. I'm sorry. I ran out of time this morning. I was gonna get some and some milk. Or I was going to get some donuts with Oreo cookies on top of them. But today is National Oreo Day.
That's a good day.
Yeah.
That's a good day.
Now, if I was really on it, I would have had the lucky lady make us some grape Kool-Aid so that we could dunk them in them before. And then you could get a Chuck treat. Because that's what I like to do, is dunk an Oreo into a grape Kool-Aid.
I'll just stick with milk. Happy birthday.
I don't dunk them in anything. I just put them in my mouth and eat them.
Happy birthday, Shaquille O'Neal, who's 52. Martin Cove, who was John Kreese in The Karate Kid, the big bad guy, 78. D.L. Hughley, 61. Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights and Nashville is 57. Marcus Smart, 30. Michael Finley, 51. Leonis Martin, 36. And Rob Reiner is 77.
Mm.
And on this day, 1836, after 13 days of intermittent fighting, the Battle of the Alamo comes to a gruesome end, capping off a pivotal moment in the Texas Revolution. Mexican forces were victorious in recapturing the fort, and nearly all of the roughly 200 Texan defenders were killed. Final attack came around dawn, or, you know, right about now, on March 6th. Mexican troops breached the north wall and flooded into the compound, awaking many of the Texans inside. The fighting lasted for about 90 minutes, some of it hand-to-hand combat. James Bowie, William B. Travis, and Davy Crockett were all killed, although reports differ as to exactly how and when they were. Several Texans reportedly surrendered, but Santa Anna ordered all prisoners be executed. Only a handful survived, mostly women and children. Historians estimate several hundred Mexicans died in the attack. And that is This Day in Sports History.
All right, This Day in Sports History. Thank you, Jeff. I also seem to remember, I don't know if it was 1, 2, 3 years ago, that, and it may have been on this day, where Haxton ate a substantial number of Oreo cookies in a not very long period of time.
Wasn't it like 16 in 5 minutes or something?
16
like
was the number I had in my head, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it was,
I don't remember if we had, it had anything to do with National Oreo Day.
Or if it just,
But I think it was like 16 and
somebody had a bunch of Oreo cookies, him.
I did.
You did.
I brought them.
Okay.
He said one day he could do it, and so I was like, oh, that'll be fun. So I'll just bring them from the house.
Okay.
And so I did.
Going back to Pascual Perez, his nickname, and I was right about this, he did get lost going to a game. It happened on August the 19th, 1982. He circled Atlanta's Interstate 285, which is a beltway, 3 times looking for Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. He ran out of gas and arrived at the ballpark 10 minutes late.
Bad deal.
He also, at one point in time in his career, threw a rain-shortened no-hitter. It was declared a no-hitter in 1988, but in 1991, they changed the statistics on that in terms of that no-hitters must last at least 9 innings to count. And so That one and 35 others are no longer considered no-hitters.
Well, I think they still yes. should be. I think they get an asterisk, but
yeah.
but I think they should be considered a no-hitter.
It was a 90-minute rain delay, and the home plate umpire, Harry Windelstadt, waved off the game after the delay in the top of the sixth. So there you go. Deep in the heart of Texas.
You could at least sing it with him instead of getting ahead.
Well,
on the day we remember the Alamo.
Sorry. I'm gonna hang up and listen.
You can sing. Just sing with them. Don't get ahead.
Okay.
Follow the tempo.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app. It's presented by Happy State Bank. I got to tell you, I meant to tell you this Monday, Saturday during our Lady Raider broadcast. I don't know. We were talking about something. It was game related. Okay. It wasn't, you know, something that was just kind of, you know, kind of off and never land, you know.
Didn't have anything to do with Bill.
No, it did
okay.
not.
I'm
did
just
not.
Checking.
Did not. It was something that was
Bill the referee.
It was something that was serious. And I wasn't even.
Are you saying that Bill doesn't take his job seriously?
No. But I wasn't looking at Fink, I was looking at something else that I said, "Well, Jamie." I don't think he was listening to me because he didn't respond. And I said, then I quickly said, Mark. I said, well, Mark, you know. Yeah. But I said, Jamie.
Well, I told you I called Joyce Jeff on one of the broadcasts recently. And in my mind, I wasn't even thinking Jeff Haxton, who I usually do those broadcasts with.
Right, I was thinking of Jeff
McGuire. I was thinking of Jeff McGuire. So.
Anyway, so it's just... Yeah. It's kind of
we're
like,
a bit of a mess. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. Just as long as you call your wife by the right name, you're okay, right? You don't say...
I've never had that problem.
Jill or...
I've messed up the two daughters with each other, but...
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have not
but
either
I never
as a married
get,
man.
I never get the dog wrong. No. I think I called him the old dog once.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were forgiven faster than immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With a dog. Yeah. The daughters are still probably never going to forgive you.
All right, let me give you a little post-game analysis from yesterday. This is what the Dallas Morning News had to say. I just want to see if you agree with us. This is regarding the Texas Tech-Oklahoma State game won by the Red Raiders. 75-58, Tech moves its record to 10-7 in the Big 12, 21-9 overall. The headline is three takeaways from the Tech-Oklahoma State game. Red Raiders cruise past Cowboys in Stillwater. Number one, stifling defense. Said Tech was able to take the air out of the gym despite a slow start on the offensive end for the Red Raiders. Carried just a 5-point total. The Cowboys carried just a 5-point total past the 10-minute mark of the first half. They missed their first 10 field goals. Didn't get a bucket until the 12-minute mark in the second half. So it was stifling defense by the Red Raiders last night.
Yeah, it was really good.
Forced 17 turnovers. Joe Toussaint had 5 steals in the game. Led 38-17 at the half.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay.
They led 38-17 at the half.
Okay.
Yeah. Agreeing with that part.
Talked about how Darian Williams and Pop Isaacs, you know, led the way. Williams had 18 and Pop had 19.
Also agree with that.
Okay. Sarcasm here.
That was serious. Okay. I really do agree.
Okay. And then, like you said earlier, Chance McMillan had 14 in all in the second half. One thing about Darian Williams, Jeff Haxton had him on his pregame show before the game last night on Double T 97.3. And he asked him, he said, what made you not respond to Brock Cunningham? And I believe this is the first time that Darian Williams had commented and been available for comment, you know, with regard to the incident with Texas. And he said this, he said, my parents and my grandparents instilled in me to not let people get me out of my character. And I thought, man, in the heat of the moment, that is really kind of keeping your head about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went
and
on.
I don't think any of us would have thought he had bad character if he went back at him.
No, huh?
Truth of the matter, I mean, you get hit like that by somebody that takes a cheap shot against you. I mean, you understand somebody coming back at somebody after that.
He went on to say that he, Cunningham, wasn't worth it in terms of responding to him.
Yeah. I like that concept.
Yeah.
You know,
it wasn't worth it.
You're not worth my time to deal with you.
Not worth, because he, I think he understood what the consequences would be, that there would, if he responded, then there would be kind of a melee.
Yeah. So, speaking of Brock Cunningham, I missed the Monday night hit. I heard all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it as bad for, he got another, I think it was only a flagrant one, right? But it was his fifth foul.
It was his fifth foul. That's correct. Yes.
What was the actual foul? What did he do? Did you see it?
I did not see it. Okay. I've read about it. And Fran Fraschilla said he was on that broadcast, because I was just reading about this. He said basically in his mind that Cunningham got, it was, he received the flagrant foul because of reputation, the upgrade. But we have to remember that Fran Fraschilla almost immediately, and this thing happened right in front of him, is he said immediately that he thought it was nothing, it was just going to be a common foul. And then once he saw the replay, he had to go back and...
This was the Tech game?
Yeah, the Tech game.
Yes, no, yeah. And then once he saw the replay in the Tech game, he went back. Yeah, that has to be flagrant too. Yeah, he was, and that's understandable. I probably felt the same way.
Yeah.
In real time, until I was you like, see it, oh, they right. just ran into each other, whatever. But then you see that he decides, I'm not going to even go for the ball here. I'm just going to blindside block this guy.
Fraschilla said on the broadcast Monday night, he said, I would say if it's any other player on the court tonight, it would have been a common foul. But because it's Brock Cunningham, he's the bad guy in here, I think it's good officiating. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I like Fran. I think he does a good job. I think he knows his stuff. Mm-hmm. I like that he's very positive about all the Big 12 schools.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that he's like our Big 12 guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of like that about him. But sometimes I think he's too close, and it sounds almost as if he's, you know, you expect hometown broadcasters, AKA you and I, and, you know, Level and Hacks and all that good stuff to be homers for a certain team. And it almost feels like he's kissing up a little bit too much.
Yeah, I mean,
to be the neutral guy.
He gets really close, I think, to everybody's situation.
Yeah, which is, I mean, helps him know the situation.
Absolutely.
And all that good stuff. But I don't know, sometimes it feels like he's too worried about what he can say or can't say.
He said this from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The Monday night foul against Cunningham lowered his shoulder into a guy screening him.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, the half
court. Well, I mean, if he has a reputation and it's hurting him, it's 100% earned, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Gus and I were talking about this last night, and it just floors me, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for Brandon Beckel by any stretch of the imagination, okay? But just look at the punishment for what is done, okay? A guy can hit a guy in football and it not be intentional that he hits him the wrong way with the crown of his helmet or whatever, and he misses a full game, all right? A guy in baseball can just talk and be suspended for 4 games, okay? And I know baseball's different. Football, they play once a week. Baseball plays, you know, sometimes 4 times, 5 even, possibly, okay? And then in basketball, Brock Cunningham can be ejected for a completely dirty shot.
And nothing happens.
And gets nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And gets nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, where is, like, the rule? I mean, if you get... Shouldn't there be a ruling that if you get ejected for a flagrant 2 that you should have to miss a game?
Yeah.
Just like an illegal hit in football?
Yeah, just like a targeting.
Yeah.
Just like a targeting. Choice says this off of my
phone.
Or
actually, a targeting gets you half a game, right?
Yeah.
It's not a full game.
It depends on if it's...
Well, if you do it in the second half, you have to miss the first half of this next game.
Yeah, right.
You do it in the first half of this game, you have to miss the second half of that game. Yeah, so half a game.
Cunningham ran through a screen, but clearly lowers his shoulder into the chest. Not as egregious, but definitely flagrant, regardless of who it was. That was from Choice. Okay.
Yeah, but it just seems crazy that they have these rules that I think are good in football and baseball, but like basketball doesn't have it.
Doesn't carry over.
I mean, Remember, basketball got four games for just talking.
Yeah, right.
Not throwing a punch or throwing at somebody.
Remember, Jamie, basketball is a non-contact sport.
Yeah, well, somebody needs to tell your boy Brock.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, we're going Red Raider basketball. Jeff, you can't leave. We're doing Red Raider basketball in the Big 12 tournament, but it really doesn't have to be about Red Raider basketball. It can be about anything.
Okay.
My question for you today is, if you could choose anything, you guarantee something happens. Guarantee anything happens at the Big 12 basketball tournament. What would you guarantee? There's one answer off the board. Texas Tech wins the Big 12
That's off the board.
Tournament championship. You can guarantee one thing happens. What would you want to guarantee?
Can it be a two-part answer? Because it's really the same. No, because here's the thing. It's really the same answer, but it's involving two teams.
Yeah, I think you're thinking the same thing I am.
The title doesn't go to Texas or Oklahoma.
I'll accept that. I was even going to be a little harsher. I was going to say one and done for both of them. I would love for both of them to be one and done. I want to be
living rent free in your domes.
I want Big 12 titles to stay with Big 12 teams.
I'll tell you something I would really love to see at the women's tournament is for TCU to go one and done. They got a little space in my head as well, Jamie. I've got an apartment in my head. My ire for them escalated last week, so I'm
gonna go with Warren Washington plays and stays healthy in all three games that Texas Tech plays.
That's a better answer. Yeah, that's a better answer. That would be optimum, right? Texas Tech stops UT. That's from one person. Another person said basically what I said. UT goes out in the first round. Somebody else basically kind of expands on what you said, Jamie, that Texas Tech is 100% healthy coming out of it. Red Raider Two Guns says
this. Does that mean
this?
We get Devin Cambridge back, too?
I don't think so. What do you think's going on with Kyron Lindsey?
Don't care.
Okay.
Don't think
Grant
about
McCaslin
it.
Grant McCaslin actually talked about that last.
I saw that, yes.
It comes down to, in this conference, you've got to learn to play defense.
Yeah.
And got to want to play defense.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to play defense, you won't be playing with Grant McCaslin's team. So read into that what you see fit.
Yeah, he didn't address him specifically, but the question was asked about him, and then that's how he responded. He spoke generically, but that's the translation there. If I could guarantee one thing, it would be that Washington plays in the tournament to knock off some rust. Yeah. This, Pop finds his shot and keeps it.
Well, did a little bit of thinking. He found it last night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brandon said, I would want to guarantee that Warren gets healthy, just like what you said, Jamie.
I just think for the long haul, and I did kind of sneak in there that he plays in all three games.
Okay.
So that means you're in the championship.
Right.
I couldn't guarantee a win, but you're in the championship. See what I did there?
I kind of
cheated, I kind of snuck a two in there by saying they played in three games.
Yeah.
Because I'm also assuming that you're going to get the double bye.
Right.
And you're only going to have to win three times to win the title.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be really cool. I mean, that'd be something if they put themselves in that spot. Because I think, and we talked about this earlier, Joe Lunardi has him as an 8 seed going into the game last night. Jerry Palm has him as a 6 seed. I was really kind of hopeful that you could get up to a 5 seed. And I don't know how much winning the Big 12 tournament would help you with that, or does winning on Saturday help you that much more than winning, let's just say winning two games in the Big 12 tournament? Does winning Saturday mean more than winning two games in the Big 12 tournament?
I think it does.
I do too.
Again, you could be the number three seed in this conference.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and that gives you the kind of the test of time.
I think there's more weight put on what you do in the regular season.
Yeah. 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 No, I would agree with that. So, you know, I'm hoping that you have a really good outing. I mean, I think it's going to be just an outstanding, you know, day on Saturday. What you've got, Tech baseball taking on Texas. You've got Baylor in town for hoops, and so you know you have kind of hope that you have a really good afternoon. In this particular case, Jerry Palm has Texas Tech as a six seed, and then playing the winner, he has them going to Omaha too. You'd like to go to Omaha this year, wouldn't you?
Another one of those questions that you already knew the answer to before you asked.
That's why I'm a good lawyer.
You would be. You would be very good at
that's
that.
That's why I'd be a good lawyer. Know the answer to the question before you ask him.
Uh-huh.
But has them playing an 11 seed, which would be one of the play-in teams. Okay? So
okay.
That'd be good. But I'd love to see you go to Omaha. And he has Texas in as a nine seed. I think that's closer to reality there. He has TCU as a nine seed. Jerry Palm has Kansas as a three seed too. It just surprises me that it's that high. He obviously has Houston as a one seed. Anyway, there you go. Let's see. This from the Yates Sporting Center chat line. I understand how our tiebreaker with KU. With BYU and KU, how does it work for TCU? I don't know, to be quite honest with you. I haven't gone through all the tie-breaking scenarios yet. But here's the deal. You settle things very simply by winning on Saturday. And you put yourself in a great spot with the win last Saturday at West Virginia and the win last night at Oklahoma State. Somebody says this, that there's not a new pandemic to show up and cancel the thing. You know, I was thinking about that.
Why you gotta be bringing that up?
No, I was just thinking
about. Are we worried about that?
Oh, no, we're not.
Wasn't worried about it when it happened either.
Yeah, well, Ryan, no, I agree with you on that. Although, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's crazy how it was 4 years ago. It seems like yesterday, but it seems like now a long time ago. But, you know, that was just kind of nuts how that all kind of came to.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, good morning. It is the Morning Drive on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Jamie Lent, Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you this morning from the First United Bank Studio here in downtown Lubbock. Look forward to hearing from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We've had good participation so far today. It is Wednesday, the day the work gets done. Also, the Visual Edge IT hotline is open for you at 806-771-0973.
You know how you're a huge fan of the tidbit, Chuck?
Yes.
I've got one for you.
Oh, thank you.
We celebrated something, memorialized something earlier today with the loss of the Alamo.
Remember the Alamo.
Sports history. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday, as part of its ongoing restorations, the battleship Texas was able to be undocked from its mooring and turned where it needed to go so they could work on the other part of the ship. But that they were supposed to try to do it. They tried to do it on Independence Day, but weather and tides weren't effective enough to do what they needed to do. But they got it done yesterday, day before the Alamo.
Nice.
So they are continuing the restoration of the battleship Texas. Mm-hmm. The only ship to both participate in World War I and World War II, and was the very first ship to have a plane fly off of it.
How about that?
Cool.
Also, one of the very few that had 5 14-inch gun turrets.
Okay.
And participated in the landing at Normandy.
Wow, that's a That's a heavy hitter tidbit right there.
Well, when you're a U.S. battleship, you better be a heavy hitter.
Right, no doubt.
It definitely was.
We'll have the high school fan zone for you tonight on 100.7 The Score. Our man Garrett Luft will sit down and visit with Friendship softball coach Robbie Dickinson. That'll be at 6. Lubbock Cooper boys soccer coach Trevor Burkhead at 6:20. And Liberty Cooper baseball coach Lamar Kello. That'll be tonight at 6 o'clock on 100.7 The Score. As we get ready for the weekend, kind of look ahead a little bit, this Red Raider baseball team will take on Texas. Texas kind of reeling, Jamie, coming into this. I mean, they've not had the start that they're looking for. Do you think, if you were to ask Coach Tim Tadlock, give him a truth serum, do you think his team is off to the start that he was hoping for, or at least, I mean, I know you're hoping to win every game and blah, 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 but I mean, just by and large, do you think he would be pleased with the start for his team in terms of how everybody's performing?
I think he would be pleased, you know, what the record shows at this point. I don't necessarily think that they're anywhere near where he thinks they can be.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think he is happy with, you know, what you're doing offensively. It's hard to be disappointed when you're leading the nation in runs per game and a bunch of other offensive categories. So I think he would be happy there. I think he would tell you that he's, you know, thinks the pitching staff has a ways to go and that there still can be some improvement defensively. And I also would tell you he probably would feel a lot more comfortable if he had his normal catcher back
there. Kevin Bazell. Yeah. Do you think
yes, Texas has lost 4 games in a row, but mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the schedule and they've lost to 3 top 10 teams and then they lost a one-run game to a good Texas State program. So yes, they've lost 4 in a row, but are they really reeling? I mean, yeah. I would lean towards no. And mm-hmm. yes, you've won 7 in a row, but have you really beat anybody?
Yeah, that's fair.
So I don't, you know, I think you can look at it and be like, well, one team's won 7 in a row, one team's lost 4 in a row. Well, this is gonna no.
You got to peel the onion back just a little bit when you kind of put those kinds of things out there. But really, more it's how you're playing. Is it common for the hitters to be ahead of the pitchers this much, or do you normally think that the pitchers are ahead of the hitters at this time of year?
I don't know. I think it just kind of depends on the player.
Okay.
I really do. I mean, I think in certain years I would have told you one or the other, but I mm-hmm. think I've kind of changed on that. I just think it takes some guys longer, and then there are other guys that pick it up quickly. It takes some hitters a little bit longer to get used to real pitching and all that kind of stuff, and then they turn it on later. But, you know, other guys, as Coach Tadlock will say, he can fall out of bed and, you know, throw strikes.
Yeah. He's been saying, like, Kevin Bazell could get up on Christmas morning and get hits and stuff like that. We don't generally hear him talk about his pitching staff like that. Well, so-and-so, get out of bed, he can throw a strike. We haven't heard that in a while.
Well, I mean, if you're asking me, I would tell you I'm still a little nervous about the unsettling that you have in the weekend rotation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys like Zane Petty and Jacob Rogers need to turn into the guys that we thought they were going to be. I thought both looked great yesterday, so I thought yesterday was very encouraging.
Did Petty go as long as you thought he would go yesterday?
I didn't feel like they were going to use any of those relievers too long because
of what
they
want
to be able to use them this weekend.
So who will start on Saturday, do you think?
I would assume Mac Huer again.
Okay. And then what about Sunday? Still Blackjack?
Blackjack.
Yeah.
Jack McDowell's got college eligibility left?
Well, you think about Jack McDowell and Jack Washburn, you know. Blackjack Washburn. Well, that isn't really Blackjack McDowell, he was a Detroit Tiger pitcher for those of you that are under the age of 40.
White Sox.
Tigers. 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think of him more the White Sox. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I wonder how many years he was with both.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He played on the 84 Tigers World Series team.
Jack McDowell?
Maybe not.
You're thinking of Jack Morris?
I'm thinking of Jack Morris. Yeah. Blackjack Morris. Blackjack Morris, Blackjack McDowell, Blackjack
was
Washburn.
Was he Blackjack also?
No, just Blackjack McDowell. Yeah. I think, you know, again, not always accurate, not always fair. Just try to be entertaining, right?
Yeah.
But no. Do you think they could, he doesn't
have he never played for Detroit.
But he didn't have a nickname, Jack Washburn, does he?
Owen's brother.
Yeah. Okay. Can't interject that in Blackjack.
I don't know why all the time I'm constantly thinking Jack, brother of Owen. Okay. I don't know why, but I do.
How do you think Jack feels about that?
I don't think of Owen as brother of Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because Owen's been here longer. But
100% White Sox, somebody says. Okay, well, again.
Yeah, he never played for
Detroit. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. That's what I get for thinking off the top of my head. You know, doesn't always work out.
And see, this is dumb. Like, the stats... Plays for the Angels in 98, 99, 96 through 97. He played for the Guardians. No, he didn't. He played for the Indians.
Played for the Indians.
They weren't the Guardians then.
I know. I hate that.
You can put it Guardians now, but he played for the Indians.
Yeah, right, right.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.